Well, good morning. Greetings to everybody. Welcome to the seventh month and the first day of the month. God certainly introduced the fall season with some good, cool weather, didn't he? We saw lots of farmers in the field this morning bringing in the crops. Are you disturbed by today's headlines in the world news? Are you watching world events so that you'll be informed to know what's coming? Are you keeping in change with the moods that the world has, moods that Satan has influenced the world to have? You know, I was reading an article in the correspondence course a few months back, and it's just as accurate today as it was back then, but with even a greater urgency than it was back then. Yeah, I think it was written in 1972. And it was titled, World Peace or A World in Pieces. And as we see today's mood with Russia and with China, with all the different countries and skirmishes that are going on, the mood is kind of, is the world going to be in pieces again? Back then, John F. Kennedy spoke before the United Nations in 1961. That was the year that I was born. And he said to mankind, you know, must put an end to war or war is going to put an end to mankind. I always liked his speech writers because, you know, he had pretty profound statements they had. You know, this was during the Cold War, the massive arm race, you know, was going on. It was just months before the Cuban Missile Crisis. As we know, you know, we were on the very brink of nuclear war during that time. 54 years later, the span of my lifetime, has man been able to get along peacefully? Has mankind found a way to have brotherly love and love for one another? Can you fall asleep tonight, feel safe and sound? I know the way things happen anymore, it's overnight. You wake up and you wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Things are worse, you know, than they were back then. More nations have the nuclear bomb. You know, our worst fears are coming true with the Muslim nations. They're trying to build, buy, or steal a bomb. You know, by 1975, America and the Soviet Union both developed a weapon, the MIRV, which is short for Multiple Independent Target Reentry Vehicle. And what that was one missile. The old way was one missile, one nuclear bomb. Now, it's one missile, 14 deadly nuclear weapons that can target 14 different cities. Instead of learning how to live peacefully with one another, we've learned how to kill one another more efficiently. You know, the scientific community has been working on many frightful things since the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Cold War. The article said, in 1960, a magazine, a leading magazine, it didn't tell me which magazine because I wanted to look it up and make sure I was quoting it right, but it said, you know, that the world's tensions and problems are building up so much, so fast, that it's going to take a strong arm from someplace to straighten out this mess. You know, the nations that are in NATO all get together and they agree a world government run by man is what's needed. Well, let's turn to Isaiah 40, verse 10. You know, they almost got it right. It's going to take a strong hand, but it's not going to be a hand from man or man's government made of flesh and blood. It's Isaiah 40 and verse 10. And you might as well put a bookmark in Isaiah because we're going to come back and forth quite a bit to Isaiah. Starting in verse 10, it says, "Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him." You know, the prophet Isaiah was inspired to record God's message and the prophecy that God told him. The Bible shows there is hope for mankind. God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ back to this earth in all his glory and all his might and power to save mankind from sure self-destruction. We know that God the Father and Jesus Christ have a plan in place. God the Father is in control and he's ready to send Christ back at the right time to stop total destruction of this earth. We know that from the beginning, at the creation of man, that God had a personal relationship with man. And let's turn back to Genesis 2:16, and let's prove that. That God did have a one-on-one relationship with Adam and with Eve. In Genesis 2, verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die." And let's see a couple of chapters forward in Genesis 3:8. Genesis 3:8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you should not eat?'" Let's drop down to verse 17. And then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will shall eat of it, and all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken." We see that from the very beginning, God did communicate with man. And this was the downfall of man. When man decided to do his own thing, he decided he wasn't going to listen to God. He decided he knew better. But we see, you know, God's way was pleasant. They got to live in the Garden of Eden where food was plentiful. Everything was beautiful. There was no thorns and thistles. Everything was at peace. But God kicked them out of the garden when they decided to do their own choice, their own way. Man's way brought on God's wrath. And we remember in Noah and the flood that mankind was almost totally wiped out. There was only 8 people left. And as we read our Bible, we know God has the right to call whom He will and bless who He will, whoever He chooses. And God chose Abraham and his descendants. So let's turn to Genesis 18:16. You know, God chose Abraham and his descendants to be His people. And He always revealed to His servants what He was going to do. Starting in verse 16, it says, "Then the men arose from where they were, looked toward Sodom." This is when the Lord came down with His two angels and visited with Abraham, and He prepared a meal for him quickly. At the end of that, here it says, "And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing?'" You know, we can hear God's thoughts. He said, "Shall I hide this? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, 'Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I'm going to go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know.'" You know, we see here God was thinking of His relationship with Abraham and his descendants. He was going to let them know what was going to happen and why. You know, God also informed Abraham and Sarah what He was going to do through them. God has prophesied through His servants what He's going to do in advance. If man would only just listen and believe what God says. You know, and there's a scripture in Amos where it says, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless He reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets." The sad state of our world has been predicted over 1,900 years ago. Almost 2,000 years have gone by. It was recorded in advance for us to read. You know, it was prophesied by the greatest prophet that ever walked the earth. He saw the outcome of it all. He knew man was going to be able to destroy himself in the future by its technology and its advances. And we know that man was Jesus Christ who said this. And He said, "Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And there's no book so accurate as the Bible. It's the only book that clearly foretells what's going to happen in our future, in our very near future. You know, most of the world scoffs at what the Bible says. They don't believe it means exactly what it says. We read in Revelation that it's going to be a time of destruction and suffering that's never been, nor never will be. Again, after that, there's always been prophets of doom and gloom. You know, they say the world was going to end in the Middle Ages, and that the world was going to end at World War I and World War II. And certainly there was no times like that before that time. There was horrifying experiences. But we know the end is not yet. God has a timetable, a schedule of prophecy, and we as humans always want to guess when that's going to be. Excuse me. We always want to guess, but Christ said, "No man knows the time, only God the Father knows." But that doesn't stop us from wanting to try, does it? Or to speculating, even though Christ said, "No one knows." People think that they can predict. As we look through the Bible, we need to see that there is a definite time setting. There's a schedule. There's a progress of time and events. Most of the prophets that prophesied didn't get to see their prophecies come to take, you know, come to a head and be fulfilled. It didn't take place during their lifetime. Most of the prophecies haven't yet taken place. They're going to happen in the future, and some are dual, and they're going to happen again. But we know for sure what Christ said. He taught in Matthew when the apostles asked him what the signs would be. They have to take place events, you know, years ahead of time and months before his return. There is a lot of prophecy in the Old Testament, and that's what we're going to look at today, especially since this day, the Feast of Trumpets, represents the return of Christ and the coming of God's kingdom. You know, we hear people who don't think there's a God. I remember reading an article a long time ago that New York Times said God is dead. Or they think that he isn't going to return. He's been too long that he's forgotten. He's too busy. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and starting in verse 3. In verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" You know, here in verse 9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, the delay of God's judgment is not because he's busy. It's not because he's, you know, sleeping or anything. It's because he's long-suffering. He wants each and every one person to repent. He's not willing that any should perish. If you look at the word scoffers in the Moffat translation, you know, it's scoffers, excuse me. Scoffers are rendered as mockers. So, you know, what does God say to mockers that mock him? Especially to Israel. Let's turn to Ezekiel 12:21 and see what God inspired Ezekiel to write. 12:21. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, what is this proverb? What is this saying that you people have about the land of Israel, which says the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand, the fulfillment of every vision For no more shall there be any false visions or flattering divinations within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It's no longer, it says, it will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. That's, wow, that's kind of the point, isn't it? Surprising as it seems, most of the book of Ezekiel is for our day, this end time. When this was written, ancient Israel was already conquered, and they were in Babylon. At least, well, not Babylon, but they were conquered. And it says that they, commentary said they were over 120 years in captivity at this time when Ezekiel wrote this. So it had to be delivered for a future time in Israel, about a future captivity. God knew that the nations of Israel were going to rise again, and he was going to bless them, and they were going to be nations. So he preserved the message for us today. Well, what does God say to the doubters of the world? You know, what's going to take place? In verse 20, you know, he says, then the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste. The land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You know, that's what his response is. He's going to lay waste the cities. And there's no way out, even if Israel refuses to believe it. Even if they rationalize and say, well, it can't happen, it's never going to take place. Let's drop down to verse 26. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying the vision that he sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. We know a time is a year, and this says for times far off. Therefore say to them, says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed any more. But the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. You know, God makes it clear there's not going to be a reprieve from this judgment, and it's going to happen. But before God brings about any major punishment, as always, he warns his servants to prophesy to his people. So let's turn to Amos 3, Amos chapter 3. Verse 6, starting in verse 6. It says, if a trumpet is blown in the city, in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Verse 8, it says, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? God asked the question, who but his prophets? It is God and God alone who reveals what's going to happen, what's going to take place, and it's through his prophets. God is the one who reveals it. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. Starting in verse 6, or no, I'm sorry, verse 9. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. In the day of rebuke, he says. You know, God's the one who says this. In chapter 7, let's go a couple pages, chapters forward, and go to chapter 7, verse 12. You know, God is speaking about his people, the nations of Israel. Starting 12, he says, wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard. Woe, he says. Anytime you hear woe, that means disaster, destruction. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. They have transgressed against God. He says here, though I redeemed them, he brought them out of Egypt. He brought them, kept them safe. you know, what time is this speaking of, or what age is this recorded for? Well, let's turn back to Isaiah. I told you we'd be coming back, and we're going to be coming back several times. Isaiah 30. Starting in verse 8. He says here in verse 8, "Go now, write it down before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, a time forever and ever." Well, that sounds like a long time, forever and ever. In the future, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the word, hear the law of the Lord. You know, these is talking about the latter days. That's what the character of the people will be, a rebellious people, a lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. In verse 10, he says, "They say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits.'" You know, the world just doesn't want to hear the truth. They don't believe that you have to obey all Ten Commandments. You know, they want a feel-good religion where you can be as you are. You can do what you want. You don't have to change. That God will accept you as you are. And that's just not true. We know that you have to repent and change. They say we need to be tolerant of others and say that they're not sinning. You know, it's considered hate speech to say that someone's sinning. You can't point out to the fact they shouldn't be doing this or that. They don't want to hear it. It's a mixed up world right now, good for evil and evil for good. And we know in chapter 5 of Isaiah it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And this is exactly the world that we live in right now. The world's view is do whatever you want, whatever feels right to you. There's no wrong. There's no right. No one should judge what another does. Let's turn to Isaiah 30, verse 11. Are we already there? I guess I already said that. Anyway, starting in verse 11 here, this is what our leaders are saying to us today. If you stop and think about it, they say, "Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path." Well, what path are they saying? Well, God's way. Turn aside. The path to obedience and righteousness. They don't want to follow that. "Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." You know, our leaders are actually saying that by what but their actions are. They don't want God to lead us. We as a nation are saying, you know, that we're great, we're mighty. You know, we've done this all on our own. They don't want to give God credit, and they don't want God to tell us what we need to do and what we need to be thinking, worshiping Him and how He says to be worshiped. Our leaders and judges, the legal system is totally just about wiped out God in everywhere and every aspect from our view and from our thought. They want to judge themselves, you know, they want to do what's right and wrong in their own eyes, not what God says. Here in verse 12, he says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly and in an instant." You know, God warns us all, His saints, to be watching, to be ready, and not to be caught unaware. That's why we are to watch. You know, there's signs. The signs are there, and it's about to collapse. The economy is about to collapse. Things are happening all over. It's kind of stabilized temporarily now, but whenever God's ready, it's going to collapse. It kind of reminds me of when I've been on jobs pouring concrete, when the way we pour concrete walls, that there's a wall, you put a form here and a form there, and in between is a metal rod. And on each side, you have these pins you stick in. They're tapered from real narrow to wide at the end. And when you stick this through that metal rod in there, and you drop a pin in, and then you beat it hard as you can, and it just locks it in place. And then you do the same thing on the opposite side, and you keep going as you go. But when the point is, when you pour the concrete, sometimes they'll pour that footing out of the ground 10, 12 feet up, and they'll drop down a vibrator, and it might be 12 feet long, and they don't know where exactly those pins are, and they hit them, those pins will shoot out, and then that wall will let loose, especially if they stay there too long, both pins will fall out. And then that wall, from the tons of pressure of concrete, will bulge. And if they don't get, they always have us around when we're doing that to make sure we'd beat them back in. But that's just like what's happening now. They're not paying attention to the signs. You know, this, the nation's blessings are being taken away. It's only a matter of time before the economy will collapse. All the wealth, the abundance of food, the clean water, you know, our freedom is going to be taken away by our Creator as punishment to get the nation's attention, you know, to bring them into a repentant attitude if they will repent. You know, we know man is too stubborn to listen. And if we think about it, most of the time we want to ignore it. We deny the fact that we're even in trouble. We ignore it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, we probably should just turn there, 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 3. It says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And it says, they shall not escape. You know, I remember back when my wife was pregnant with both our sons. You know, one evening you went to bed and everything was fine. You don't think about anything. And in the middle of the night, things weren't so fine. It was time to go. And it happened in just like that. I mean, just a few hours before the next morning. Things can happen, and they will happen fast, suddenly. When God pronounces judgment, it usually is quickly. The penalty, the punishment comes quick. You know, most people don't believe we as a nation will fail. If you talk to the average person, they know things are bad, but they think, oh, you know, we're mighty, and we can take care of ourselves. You know, so what if the stock market goes up and down like a yo-yo? It'll be all right. Everything comes back to normal, right? Things are still okay, right? No. We're delusional. We believe a lie that all is well. You know, our nation has forgotten our God. We've forgotten who's blessed us. Who it was that successfully brought us through the Revolutionary War, World War I, and World War II. You know, we as a nation are thankless and forgetting our God. We're forgetting who we are and what role we have to play. We are less thankful and losing what little knowledge of God that we've had. The United States is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. We are the descendants of Manasseh, and we're truly living up to the meaning of our name, Manasseh, which is causing to forget. We've forgotten our God and who we are as a nation. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Those children are the 12 tribes of Israel. It says here in verse 3, the ox knows its owner, the donkey knows its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Does that sound anything like familiar today of our nation? You know, in Jeremiah 2, it says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Let's turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, starting in verse 26. God inspired Ezekiel to write this. And this is to our leaders. It says, her priests have violated my laws and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. You know, they don't keep the right day for the Sabbath. They don't keep the holy days. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing at prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plaster them with untempered mortar. You know what untempered mortar is? It's mortar that never sets up hard. You can't trust in it. It's not reliable. By teaching false sayings that won't protect them from God's wrath. They teach the false things. They see here, it says, seeing false visions and dividing lies for them, saying, thus the Lord God, when the Lord God has not even spoken. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, verse starting in verse 9. My Bible, I'm reading out of the New King James, and it has the blindness of disobedience on the heading for that particular scripture. And starting in verse 9, it says, pause and wonder. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but they're not drunk with wine. They stagger, but they don't stagger with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets and your rulers. And he has covered your heads, namely the seers. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one who is literate, saying, please read this. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. They don't have the wisdom or the understanding. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate, saying, please read this. And he says, I am not literate. Therefore the Lord said, insomuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Sure, we claim, you know, as the United States to be a God-fearing nation, but we don't want to obey God. We don't want to have to make sacrifices. Here it says, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. Men who say, you know, the Sabbath is on a Sunday. It's been done away with. They say, you don't have to accept. You know, Jesus loves you as you are. You don't have to change. They don't want to hear someone sinning. Teach us the smooth ways, the easy ways. And God's response here in verse 14, he says, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. You know, how true is that in our nation today? You look around and you think, what are they doing? Where are they leading us? People in power don't have the wisdom they did 20, 30 years ago. It says here, the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. And here's that word, woe. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord. And their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us? Who knows us? Surely you have things turned around, he says. Surely, shall the potter be esteemed by the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it? You know, you didn't make me, God. No, we believe in evolution. We believe in, we crawled out of the slime or some other silly, you know, thought or notion. That's what we want to say. We're fulfilling that scripture. Or shall they say the thing who formed it? He has no understanding. Well, we kind of say that now. God doesn't understand. You know, he doesn't understand what it's like to be here. You know, we think we have vast knowledge and that we are just as smart as God, but we aren't. You know, we've grown so much in this technological age, we think that we've outgrown God, that we don't need him, that we can make our own decisions. We don't have a need for God, but we do have a need for God. We want to decide what's right and what's wrong for ourselves, but God has that privilege. You know, we are such intelligent beings now at the end time. We've got so much knowledge and technology is that you can see and text someone around the world in just seconds. But what does that produce, you know? Have we gained anything spiritually? Our morals have eroded to next to nothing, haven't they? We allow our unborn children to be murdered because of the selfish wants of men and women. We don't condemn those who want to live sexually immoral lives. We can't do that. It's against the law, you know. They say it's okay to believe in witchcraft, and it's even a certified religion now. Men say it's okay to live in sin, to live together outside of marriage, that homosexuality is fine. You know, they're out in the open. Many of them are in high offices and government offices, and they tell us to be tolerant. They tell us to go along with it. It's okay. And otherwise, you're considered the one that's committing the crime, not them. We take God out of all our daily lives in all aspects in this nation, in our courts, our schools, in the media. You know, if God is shown being worshipped, it's normally as someone who's weak and made fun of to do so in the media. But we as a nation forcibly make it okay for other religions, for the Muslims to be able to worship how they want. But for a true Christian, they're constantly taking away the right to speak out against evil around us, or, you know, to be able to keep your faith and live by your faith. I'm sure all of you heard about Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky recently that was arrested. You know, she refused to go along with it, to issue a marriage license to gay couples. It was against her faith, and hopefully you'll pray and ask God will bless her for doing that, because I certainly do, for upholding his word. It's not right. You know, they put her in a jail, and as far as I know, that's the first time that the government has done something like that. Arrested a woman for, you know, trying to live by her faith. Our world today is slipping down morally. You know, we've all heard and seen Bruce Jenner lately. It makes me sick to see the media embrace and applaud his choice to have a sex change. They plaster it all over the media and cram it down our throats that this is right, this is the way to live, and it's just great. And they want to jump in and they promote it, you know. There's a scripture that comes to mind. Let's turn to Romans 1 that Paul wrote here. Romans 1. God inspired him to write this. Let's just go to, I was going to read all of it, but when you get home, you can read starting in verse 18 to verse 32. But the one I want to focus on is verse 32 here. Because of the media, this is what they're doing. They know, it says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. They know that that's not right. Not only do the same, but they approve of those who practice them. And that's exactly the world we live in now. They want to promote that. They want sex changes. They want, if you want to be a man and you're a woman, they think that's fine. They applaud it. And that's not the way God intended it. And we, as Christians, must not allow ourselves to be lulled into this world's way of thinking that sex changes are okay, or to cross-dress, or to be, you know, living a false lie like that. Let's turn back to Isaiah 28, chapter 28, verse 22. Chapter 28, verse 22. It says, now, therefore, do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a destruction determined upon the whole earth. You know, it's not just the destruction of the Israelite nation, but it's the whole earth that this day pictures, because of the world's sinful nature. You know, when we read prophecy in the Bible, most of it's yet to come. It's in the future, but it's in the very near future. Let's turn to Joel 1, verse 1. I like to go through the scriptures and prove what it says. Joel 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Here it says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders. Give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. He says, let your children tell their children and their children. Yet another generation. You know, he's telling them it's in the future. It's coming. Let's drop down to verse 15. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. The Lord's day hasn't occurred yet, because we know this hasn't happened. It's in the future. The return of Christ is prophesied throughout the whole Old Testament. Let's turn back to Isaiah 24. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 17. Here it says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open. The foundations of earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaking exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. And transgressions shall be heavy upon it. It will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones, and on the earth the kings of the earth. You know, we see if we turn back to Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days. And dropping down to verse 11 of chapter 2, which is in the very near future, it says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of man shall be bowed down. And the Lord shall exalt in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it will be brought low. You know, at Christ's return, he's going to put down all those who think they're mighty, all those who trusted in their money and their own strength and their own reasoning, who said they didn't need God. He's going to show his might and strength, and they will soon see that they were wrong and that they need to repent and that they better repent and worship him. Now, should we as Christians ever doubt what is prophesied? You know, should we doubt that it's going to actually take place? You know, if you go along with the world's views and thoughts, you can slowly creep away. And it can happen if we let our minds be a part of the world's views. What does God say about his prophecy? Well, let's turn to Isaiah 55. And starting in verse 11. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Well, brethren, in conclusion, we can see that God is very serious. He means what he says. You know, he's not like the parents that you see today out in the world that say to their little boy or girl, now don't do that. I'm warning you. I'm going to count to three. Don't do that. God doesn't do that. He says it's going to happen, and he means what he says, and when he passes judgment, it's going to come fast. Let's turn to Revelation 10, verse 5. Revelation 10, verse 5. We know John recorded this. He had a vision. And he wrote down what he saw here. He said, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that they should delay no longer, but the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. That's today, what today pictures. When he is about to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. This day is coming. And Christ said, Matthew, in his own words, he said, assuredly I say to you, this generation will no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. He also said, but that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels of heaven know, only my Father. But he said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know the flood was coming until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of man. That's what Christ said in his own words. And it's hard to believe when you think about it that the world could be in such horrible conditions, but yet they're blinded to see that. You know, God says Satan has deceived the whole world, and he has, and we mustn't let ourselves be deceived. Christ said, watch and pray always, always that you're counted worthy, to be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. He said, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. And Jesus Christ plainly said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached into the world as a witness, and then the end will come. You know, God isn't going to come back without giving a warning message, and he is giving a warning message so that people will know that they need to repent and change, and what will happen if they don't. You know, we as God's people can have confidence in God that he will do as he's prophesied. His word will not fail. This day will happen and take the world by surprise. Don't let it take you by surprise. Be separate from this world and from its ways. Before, you know, now's the time before it's too late. Let's all be heeding the warning to be watching and praying, fasting, you know, that we're close to God, that we're ready, worthy to stand before Jesus Christ at his return on this wonderful day. It's going to be wonderful for us, but it's going to be bad for the people that don't repent and change.